November 16, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Warfi bin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Manna and quail is the milk and the honey in the desert. So it's a double crime on you, the whole hive, to come out on you. When they got out in the wilderness, did they get milk and honey? You never read where they got milk and honey, but they got it. It came in another language, and God rained down manna and quail. So manna and quail is the milk and the honey. And you Bible students will understand this well, and I hope that the others will too. Manna, your individual ability to understand the teachings. So manna and quail, the book says, the manna fell down as small things. They looked like small upon the ground. It was a shiny thing, they say. And they were told to collect it in the same day, for it will spoil if they let it stay out. And they were told not to leave it out until the sun comes up, because when the sun comes up, it will cause it to melt. So it's talking about your individual ability to understand the teachings. God will bless you with insight and understanding, but if you don't collect it, the moment you get it, it won't have the same quality. Once you have to go back and think of it, go back and get it. So if you have to go back and try to think of it again and get what came to your mind as a thought and an inspiration from God, you won't find it fresh, as healthy, and wholesome like it was before. Buried talent. And if you neglect to use that wisdom in your own personal life, when the sun comes up, it will vanish, meaning that when God judges you, when the day of judgment comes, you won't receive any credit for it. It will be like you never received it. Why? Because you didn't take it in and apply it to your own life. It came to you, it rained down from heaven. It was there for you, but you left it out there until judgment day. Judgment day comes and God gives you nothing. Say, God, where is my manna that you rained down on me? He will ask, did you use it? You will say, no, I didn't use it. He will say, then you don't have it then. It has also another meaning. It means that if you don't use knowledge when it comes to you, once the whole society is lit with understanding, then you won't have anything. The whole world is knowledgeable, and you are in ignorance. Your little ideas, inspiration that came to you has vanished and is gone. Why? Because you didn't use it. If you had used it, it would have multiplied, and your light would have been bright like the light of the day. But because you didn't use it, it died without development. And when the society is lit, they don't even see what you received. And isn't that the tendency in many of us, teachings for granted and listening to it like a piece of music until, wait until the next Sunday is played? We don't take it into our own intelligence and apply it into our own human life and thinking to benefit from it, to grow with it. So when the whole society has embraced the light of El-Islam, and they will be much further ahead of you, they will be enlightened and you will be still dark. That is still in the dark because you didn't apply the wisdom that came to you. Quail is like bee, meaning man must make effort. It says that he rained down from heaven manna and quail. Now manna is this thing came down. It just fell. It wasn't living matter. It just fell. Then he rained down quail. Quail is a bird, like a small pigeon. If quail comes down, quail is going to have to fight the hell out of the wind to keep from hurting themselves. And they are going to have to let down. They are going to have to come down with from their own power. So isn't this like the honey? Can you see the connection? One milk requires no effort and just teach you. It hits your ear. But then you are responsible to take up the effort yourself. If you don't, you're going to come up short when the day of enlightenment comes. But the other quail comes down with great efforts, and it's for you. You can bring it in, the quail, but it is the great effort that we bring this forth. What is this effort? It is the ability of the imam to ride the winds of emotion, to ride the influences of the world and not be blown away by them. The ability to discipline yourself in winds or atmospheres through influence of the world that doesn't come to you without great effort. The wisdom of the Quran is here, but it requires great discipline on the part of your leader. He has to be disciplined. I have to discipline my moral life. I have to discipline my emotional life. I have to discipline my spiritual life. I have to discipline my mind. I have to discipline myself. I have to learn how to discipline and control myself while I am in the influence of the world. So the religious people, the good imams, they don't come to the people without great effort. They have to have great efforts to cross the emotional nature of society. The spiritual influence in the atmosphere offers such great challenges to them that they have to beat the wind with their own effort. Now, when that kind of person comes to us, we have managed to survive, the temptations of the world, and manage to teach its spirituality from flying through the wind of temptation and lust. Bird eating it means to get discipline in yourself. So when we come to us, when it comes to us, how sweet it is to us. So quail is a sweet bird. His flesh is sweet. And we would like to pick his feathers and get to his meat and eat him. I want this discipline in me. I want to be able to fly too. I want to be able to battle the winds and yet reach my own course and own destination. You see, this is something that we ought to desire. We desire the knowledge, but we also want the spiritual discipline. Milk symbolic of spiritual discipline. Now the milk that comes from the breast comes to give us spiritual discipline. We teach the child to be kind, to be clean, to be peaceful, and his action. We teach the child to appreciate mama and daddy, to appreciate goodness no matter where it comes from, and to be polite, to be thankful. Isn't this the first fruits of the breath? Did any great philosopher have to come and bring us that? Every human being gets that knowledge by nature. So it is the milk of the breast. It's very soft. It's easy to swallow. It made for the baby. The kind of teaching is made for the baby. And the mother has it waiting for the baby as soon as the baby can listen, open his ears. In fact, the treatment that the mother gives the baby begins to give the discipline to the baby, cleaning him up when he is dirty, teaching him that he shouldn't be dirty, that he shouldn't stink, protecting him, teaching him love and compassion, answering his cries when he is hungry, thirsty, when he's grateful, gratefulness. So gratitude and appreciation, you see, and then he begins to talk to him when he grows older and older, and he begins to learn from her, and she begins to teach him the language of the human being, right and wrong, etc. So this is nature. These are the first fruits of nature. So it is like a discipline. But look what it says of the manna, which tells you clearly that it is the honey. It says that each man takes what he can handle for himself and take it into his own house. Beehive represents conscious work, conscious work with the essence of truth. So each bee makes his honey for his own home. You see, each man takes into his own house, which means into his own home. But leave it off. If the bee don't get it to the hive with the pollen and whatever is collected from the flowers, it won't be any good. It will go to waste. But if it takes it to the hive and the hive begins to work on it, what does the hive represent here? It represents your conscience. Take it in individual conscience, and they work with the essence of truth, and you get from the teachings. So bee seals holes with wax, so it won't be polluted. And if you work with it, your own effort will produce from the essence of the honey, and when you taste it sweet, you will enjoy it. Just getting the pollen is nice. It's exciting how the bees work. They just come out buzzing, and they go and they fly to the flowers and work so enthusiastically with their feet and fly back to the hive. And each one gets his own home, and they are busy working. And when they get through, they seal it with wax. Why? Because God doesn't want it to be polluted. He wants to keep it pure. He doesn't want any other influences to reach the truth that he's got. So he seals it with wax. And it says in there for a time, and that's right. And the bees is working in there, and the bee comes out, seals it up in time. There was honey ready for the eating. Very nice, very nice. He has worked. He has labored. He has brought it into his own consciousness. He has protected it from the contaminated ideas of the world. He has kept it pure, and he developed it with his own intelligence. He works with it, and he saw that this is more than just essence. This is food for my own substance. So this is something I can eat. I can live on this. Just the aroma is nice, isn't it? So I guess the bee smells like we do, just working with the pollen and spelling all that nice fragrance. I guess that's just like the spiritual excitement that you get. Teach, Brother Imam. Teach, Chief. He got a whiff of pollen. Teach, Chief. Pollen, he's gone crazy. But have the same sense to fly back to your own conscience and in your own intelligence develop those ideas until you have a sweet substance for your own life. Quail is a spiritual discipline. So that the manna and the quail, then it comes down. So the people have to catch it. And it's hard to catch, isn't it? It's a flying thing. So you're going to either know how to shoot very accurately, or you're going to have to trick that quail, get him in a trap, or you're going to have to be awfully fast with the hands when he comes near you. Catch him real quick. Difficult to get spiritual discipline, very difficult. So feathers represents knowledge and wisdom. And when you get ready to eat him, you have to pluck him first, meaning that there is wisdom. The feathers represents knowledge. So you're going to have to first take off the surface violence. You don't eat the feathers. The primitive people, the native people, they wear the feathers, but they don't eat them. You pick off the feathers and get down to the meat. You took off the dress, the serpent language, symbolism, and you were blessed to see the meat as what you want to eat. Meat, you usually wash it up, right? So you wash the meat up. You might season it, cook it. Then you eat the meat. All of these has meaning, but we aren't going to deal with it. All of it, just the plucking of the feathers of the meat. So pluck feathers mean gets hearts of the matter. So you pluck off the surface color, that is usually symbolism, and you get down to the heart of the matter, the real knowledge. So the Bible says that milk is for the baby, but meat is for the learned. You have to have teeth to handle meat. So that tells us that really the knowledge that we need for spiritual discipline, that great knowledge, and that discipline that will enable us to fight the influences of the world and yet reach our goal, that bird has to be able to beat the wind and reach his goal, reach his destination. That kind of knowledge is not on the surface. It is under the surface to the meat. Now, dear brothers and sisters, what the church has offered us has been feathers. The church has offered us nothing but milk and feathers, no honey. They only give the students of theology honey. The membership gets no honey. Only the students of theology get some honey. And they don't get too much. Weak honey, watered down honey. So the Quran, Surah 48, Ayah 10, pledges to the Prophet. Ilah God, Ilahin Naz, means worship God. It is where you direct your devotion when man has been formed as a community, and then he has formed a law and an order for that community, and he sits on the throne representing authority, then he should have that whole community and government and head worship God, who has been in all of his developments to bring him from dust to where he is. So we have heard a calling saying to faith, believe in your Lord, and we have believed. see what intelligent man will believe in, not seasonal man, who will be here for 2 or 3 years, and they see another horizon, and leave from here and go to the other horizon. I'm talking about men who make an alliance for life when they put their hand in the hand of the leader. It is not only their hand. It is the hands of their loins, their children, and grandchildren to come. They are pledging their future to the leader for generations and generations to come. That is how they pledge their alliance to Muhammad. They were saying, as intelligent men of insight, that we have heard a man saying, come to faith, and saying, believe in the God who has evolved our matter from dead matter to become a social community of human beings. That's our creator, who is also our evolver, Lord. I can believe in that. I want to believe in that. Hand of Allah above all. The Quran, Surah 48, Ayah 10 to 18. Hand of Allah above all in oath. Al-Hadith, page 1, 307 and 100, Allah Hand on Group. Bukhari, page 1, 47. Poor with conceit to build tall structures. Can I tell you the plain truth? Would you go crazy? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to you right now through Elijah's son. And I am not a prophet. I am no angel. I am Wallace D. Muhammad. So the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, and a sign that the end of the world will be that the poor people will be competing with the rich people in the building of skyscrapers. Isn't this a tall house we are building right now? We are putting together a tall structure right now. And I think we can compete with the rich, can't we? Just the rich in money, but the rich also in knowledge. Please don't repeat what I told you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to Elijah's son. You don't want to repeat that. I have been under the tree where the followers of Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, took an oath. And they placed their hands on his hand and kept placing their hands on each other's hands. And their hands, and was supported by his hand. His hand was the first to take the oath upon. They were told by God that the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the last hand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also verified oaths was approved by him. The Quran, Surah 48, Ayah 10, Allah hand over their hands at the oath. So this is why I mentioned that I had a vision. I did. It was just like it was real that I was with the followers of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, under the tree when they made the oath to him. The first one put his hand on his hand, and then they kept putting hands over hands. In the dream, I came in, and I put my hand there. It was a big pile of hands way up there. And I put my hand in there. And they just kept on piling them up. And the last hand is God's hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it in the Quran that his hand is above your hand. So Prophet Muhammad could have destroyed other religions if he wanted to. Now they were pledging alliance to the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. So that says even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves it. So you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, but he didn't want to send him. He is going back. He is going to back him up in everything. So after they held their hands up to upbending God, then he put his hand on top. There is meaning that their pledging alliance to the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, was approved by God. So this is all that it is saying. And it was under a tree, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, was a merciful man, a very kind-hearted person. And he didn't want to be in opposition to the scheme of God that existed before him, and he had carried out by prophets, one after another. So he spared revealing what he knew would wreck Christianity, wreck Judaism. He could have destroyed all of it if he wanted to, at least expose them so bad until a lot of people would have just turned against not only Jews and Christians, but they would have turned against religion. And he did not want that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want him to do that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, he was at certain points in his life really fed up with a lot of things that they were doing. In evidence, his life works and evidence in Quran, too, that he was really burdened terribly by a lot of things that were going on that he had no nature for. But God would not let him hurt God's plan for his life, as the last prophet prays, and the peace be upon him, and a mercy to all the worlds. So God would give him understanding that gave him relief. So we think the prophet prayers and the peace be upon him was always on the right path? No. The Quran says he found you straying, found you weighted down with burden on your back, and guided you. So he also was straying. In the Bible of Jesus, it says, is there good in it? Not one. Not a single one. Everybody had errors, sin, even the prophets, the best of the people. So the Quran Surah 48, Ayat 14, Allah forgives, punishes whomsoever. So God has the power to whip us into shape. He uses all kinds of sticks. He can give you any place. He can get you any place and time. He can whip you mentally into form, morally and spiritually, physically. The Quran Surah 27, the Quran Surah 48, Ayat 27, enter Mars secured with shaved head. Judges 16, 17 to 9, Samson's strength, hair cut seven locks. Judges 11, 2, 12 and 3, Mary washed Jesus' feet with hair. So Hajj cuts hair equals world to make deep-seated sensitivity conform to wrong guidance. So this mind is secure when the senses are corrected, when man checks senses for fear of God, intuitive urge, intuitive perception. That's when he finds peace. Your tendency to follow the instinctive urges has taken you into extreme. So it makes hair soft, comes from those extremes. Take off the growth and bring it down close to nature. Don't cut nature off. So cutting hair in connection with taqwa means they didn't give themselves to the influences of their own urges. Control, stage once, equals the inbound instinct or intelligence. Instinct can be made to behave out of its nature, and when we have to sacrifice those inner instincts that aren't conforming to the pattern that Allah intended for that life, long hair is very unruly. It tangles all up. When short, it doesn't tangle. Taqwa. With taqwa, the inner urge are governed. Hair is cleaner. Keener sense can detect what the flesh doesn't detect. It is symbolic of intuitive sense. See hair rise on the back of an animal. It equals innate intelligent, inborn intelligent that wasn't learned in a book. Mary Magdalene's hair. Hair is water. Another heat brings on water. Swallow. Repentance makes us cry. Shallow repentance makes us cry. Mary Magdalene wiped the feet of Jesus with her hair, her tears. So this is deep-seated feelings in us, sympathy. Hair equals warm water in a salt water. Some Christians believe intuitive sense is spirit of God. You are wrong. The human sense, creation. Mary Magdalene washed the feet with her hair. Equals sensitivity in the human. The ribbon, reborn, represents the rib that checks that sensitivity, symbolic of dormant intelligence. It feels what right and wrong, but it's asleep. And sleeping person is insensitive, talking about blind sensitivity. That's not intelligent, directed, nor managed. So it goes flattered about like hair. Hair also represents fire. When a person runs, it looks like flames, passion, that unchecked. So Judge 16, 17 to 9, Samson stripped hair, cut seven locks. Hair, sentient of religious knowledge, it comes with one color, and with age, it becomes white. So religious knowledge comes to form in us, light of understanding equals white, but it shouldn't turn white. In the end, it should come to you first like this, seven locks hair. You need a key to open a lock. His strength was in that. His knowledge was locked up, not exposed to others. Seven secret knowledge runs a course. Then you repeat it. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 12, spy not. O ye who believe, avoid suspicion as much as possible. For suspicion in some cases is a sin. And spy not on each other, nor speak ill of each other behind their back. Yes, okay, very important question. Yes. Now, that brings up another question. I'm going to answer the first time, the first that came up in my mind before I answer yours. Then I'll come to yours. Now, in the Islamic society, those who are guilty of fornication and adultery in previous life are the misraps, idolaters. Once they convert to Islam, all that is forgiven. They wouldn't be seen as adulteries or fornicators, okay? So that's the first part of the question. The second part of the question is, how do we know those people are guilty of fornication of adultery? We know because it has brought it to public conscience. It has been brought into the public awareness. That's how we know. We are not to go spying on people or to dig up or to ask questions without evidence of knowledge that something exists. We are not to look for adultery and fornication. Adultery and fornication is supposed to be in our eyes when we start to address adultery and fornication. Yes, that's right. The right of privacy is very strong in Islam. That's not only an American right or right for our government and our public. The right of privacy is very strong right in Islam. So you're not supposed to spy on brothers. You're not supposed to spy on your sisters. You're not supposed to be suspicious of them. You're not supposed to act upon any suspicion. You're only supposed to act upon evidence that has been brought to the public awareness. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 12, eat dead brothers' flesh. Imams, you should belong to those who You are supposed to be loyal to every other imam. No, you join enemies of that Islam. Don't be hypocrites and deceivers. You want the flesh of your dead brother to be eaten? That's horrible sight pictures, someone eating flesh of the dead brother. What does it mean? He can't defend himself. He's absent. You don't know what he's doing. God pictures you as savage beast, chewing brother, devouring his good character. That's someone changed pictures of human beautiful body. His living character is seen in his absence. So you are there chewing away on good pictures of his life. If it's firm, flame towards him with that. Mukmin, faith. Mukmin, from a root word meaning trust and faith. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 12, suspicion in some cases is a sin. The Quran, Surah 81, Ayah 21, he was obedient and trustworthy. It is the same thing for some of us, are so distrustful. In the Quran and in Al-Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established that to be suspicion in human nature, but to carry it to the extreme may be sinful. Do you know that's what holds us back? Now, we cannot progress like we should because we are too distrustful of one another. We are given a leader who was called trustworthy before God called him. When he knew nothing of revealed scripture, Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him, was called the trustworthy and the truthful. Why is that given to us? To teach us that our leader must be trustworthy, and then we are obligated to trust him. And what is it all to tell us? Are all of us called mukmins? If we are believers, mukmin, what does it mean? I can trust you. It comes from a root word meaning trust, not just faith or belief. Religious myths spies the Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 12, spy not. Student encouragement is to know his own human value. Spying in the United States is un-Islamic. Myth is also science. Imam Yusuf Salim, what are the key components of an Islamic curriculum? Imam W.D. Muhammad, the key components of an Islamic curriculum, you will get them from my opening statement. They are all there. Wholesomeness, trustfulness, integrity for the body of knowledge, integrity, compassion, openness, encouragement to the student. Encouragement to the student is for the student to know his own human value as a human person. There is more, but I think what I said in the opening about the reality of the world that we live in and how the common belief that we get mostly from myths, but they call it religion. Religion acknowledges that it is myths, but myths is not foolishness. Myths is also science, but myths is a different language. So when religion tells the child that God made him, that God made the man of clay, how long is he going to live with that? He will live with it all of his life. But I guarantee you it has a negative influence and burden on his education from preschool to college, university, and graduate school. He carries a burden on his psyche. If we could relieve that burden, get the burden out of his psyche, which I am trying to do, and a lot of people won't agree with me. Some people want to kill me for it. Yes, they will. They want to kill me for what I'm doing. But they can't do it because God has called me to do what I'm doing. And when God wants me to stop, I'll stop. As long as I'm doing what God tells me to do. They can't kill me. Only God can kill me. I know that. So I fear nothing. Not that I don't have human fear. I do. I'm immortal. I have human fear. But as soon as I recognize and register the fear, it goes away. Because I recall my Lord and he takes away the fear instantly. So my curiosity is always stronger than my fear. There was never a time in my life when my fears were stronger than my curiosity. I'm only sharing that with you to tell you that the way you should be, don't be afraid to follow your curiosity no matter what the consequences are. We don't mean go and peep into somebody's room. If you have that kind of curiosity, that kills the cat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids that we pry into the privacy of any brother, sister, or person. Fine that they have. In the United States, it's un-Islamic. And Islamic countries couldn't do it, tapping phones and stuff like that. An Islamic country, if it follows the religion, first it has to know the religion. Do you think these kings know the religion? A lot of them are just as dumb as the people walking the street in the religion. They raised them to know how to present themselves before their public and how to run their affairs of government, but they doesn't mean that they have great insight into the religion. How much insight do you think President Bush has into Christianity or the Bible? If he had great insight, you would see a different president, Bush. Some of us, we are naive. Even educated ones, college and universities, and natives, when we come to understand this world and how it constitutes and how it works. So race. The Quran Surah 49, Ayah 13, made you into tribes and nations. Genesis 37:3, Joseph coat many colors. They will tell you that this religion came to make us all one ummah. Well, I know that Joseph was promised the coat of various colors. It didn't say one color, various colors. And Allah the Most High says, and it's true, brothers on one equal frame, that word that says, that the best of you is the one who is best in his obedience to God, that there is nothing that makes us superior to none, not our race, not our nationality, nor our color. The only thing that makes us higher above one another, it has to be that we are higher than other persons or that other in obedience to Allah. And our taqwa. And taqwa is another way of saying obedience to God. It says that he distinguishes us like that. So a movement or a belief that wants us all to blend in, so and ignore color and ignore national origin or ignore national identity or ignore ethnicity or ignore comparable distinctions in Islamic communities. In the national community is a movement, the religion, that God intended the very statement that they use as an argument against a person like me, who says that the African-American people should build upon their African-American excellence, should build upon their racial distinction that is good and excellent, to build upon whole ethnicity, though it drowns through, we should build upon the excellence for our excellence. So once I identify myself as a human being with all other human beings, and once I know that God made the first human being, he made me. And I know that whatever he put in the first human being, he put it in me. He didn't make no two different pots, one mix, one formula. So when I know that, brother, I am comfortable now in my original self. Original self before national identity. First, my original self, and before there were such things as nationality, before there were such things as ethnicity, before there were such things as racial differences, original self-existence. Now upon the original self, I am going to structure my African-American self. I can do, you all believe me, I can do it. I can structure my African-American people in a most dignified image. The natural foundation that God has given to us in your originality for every God-fearing man and woman on this planet Earth. I can do that, and I can guide you into a cultural dress that will be excellent. Allah has given me this. I can guide you into a race and identity that will be excellent. I will make you more compatible if you say you are a black man or an African-American man, and anything is. So I do see the Quran as a book that doesn't have an accommodation for my race pride, for my sober, dignified race consciousness. I don't see the Quran as leaving me out. I don't see the Quran as a book that leaves out my appetite for a decent and comparable cultural life, distant from each. So culture means dress. Do you know what culture really means? Dress. So God made nature, but he dressed it. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 13, he made you tribes and nations to know each other. So we have to get a curiosity to examine the white man, to examine the scientist, to examine his work. A curiosity that says maybe he is not the best. Maybe I can do it better. So if we believe we are equal, we should have that curiosity, this curiosity to feel that maybe he didn't do the best way. Maybe I can do it better. And didn't Allah encourage us to do that in his Quran? He says he made us from one community, and he made the people, tribes, and families from one man and one essence, one nature. And he spread them out all over the world. And they become tribes and families that they may know each other. And it says again that he made you different so that you may know who is best in his works. So that you may know who is best in his works. Now, if Allah, one of his purposes, is in separating us and making us different races, or different communities, is to show, let us know who is best in works, then I must understand then that I should take this diversified pattern of society that belongs to as a challenge to me. God has made a Frenchman, an Irishman, a Nigerian, a man from Ghana, the Korean, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He has made them, and this is an opportunity for me to show my place and my worth amongst all these men. That's what Allah is saying. So we should take this as an opportunity for us to prove ourselves, get into the competition, compete with those people. And you can't compete with something that you think is impossible to reach. If you think the white man is impossible to reach, think his knowledge is impossible to reach. or impossible to excel or suppress. You are finished. You are out of the competition. But when you suspect that he is not the Superman, when you suspect that he is not God, when you suspect that he is not your superior, then you can get into the competition. And that's what we've got to do. Get into the competition. Many of our people have gotten into the competition in the past. They have challenged the white man on different levels. And many of them have excelled them in their time. We don't want to stop that. I find us in 1982 look like we are more complacent than we were in slavery. Excuse me. The Quran Surah 49, Ayah 13, tribe nations to know each. God created us so that we can get acquainted with each other, so we can benefit each other, because God has placed us in different parts of the world, and we have come into these distinctions, and you have an experience, works that I don't have, and I have what you don't have. When we come together, look at the great liberation we will have. So we can't liberate ourselves. Ourselves, we need to come together with each other. So racism teaches distinction. So Quran Surah 49, Ayah 13, he made you into tribes and nations. It is wrong to project and depict the prophets as only white, only Jews, or all black. Any community of religious people on earth, regardless of their race and nationality, if they have insight into the language of Scripture, they will see the prophetic figures are not racial, but are human figures and are the prophets of all people. That's the way we read the Quran. Our beauty is in uniting upon what is inherent in our life and nature, while keeping our distinction that have evolved us what is inherent. So we are to keep the distinction. What we need is mental perception. Perception to draw in the mind or to become clear for us in the mind. So many things affect perception. And perception affects all things for the individual. The Quran Surah 39, Ayah 13 made you in tribes, races, race distinction. The Quran Surah 49, Ayah 13, he made you into tribes and nations. So we see each other in the noblest of identities, the human identity, not racial, ethnic, cultural identity. We are one human type. We are equal sharers in this provision God has provided for us. So hard to remove the racism. So the principle is inclusion. The hard is protection for our unity and our diversity. Every child in the household under the parent, don't they have equal rights, belong to one family? Don't they present what to be each of those children? Pursue their interests that's lawful and legal, become their distinct individual persons. That's what God wants for us. That the heart is saying, we want you all in unity as one. But I want you to keep your distinction that God approves of. My taste for clothing, my career choices. Allah don't want all of us as some or one mind and one picture. The Quran Surah 49, Ayah 13, made tribes and nations. Well, I believe God created us for race pride, created us for race of dignity. So God intended for the white man to feel good about being a white man, but he also intended for the black man to feel good about being a black man. That's the problem we have to work on. The Quran, Surah 50, Ayat 5-7, created everything in beautiful pairs. Yes, pairs. Yes, praise be to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran says he has made or created everything in beautiful pairs. Yes, beautiful pairs. So if you don't pair up, you stay ugly. Isn't that right? When you find people who don't want to be with anybody, aren't they ugly? I don't care how beautiful they may look in the outer appearance. Ugliness inside makes them even appear ugly outside. So the Quran, Surah 50, Ayat 6-8, observes creation. God tells us above. God tells us about his work so we will know better how to begin our work. God wants us to study his work so we know better how to plan our work. So this is how the world became great. So this is how civilization evolved. It is because of the free thinkers. Thinkers who looked at the objective reality and took lessons from it and studied it and compiled the knowledge, arranged the knowledge, ordered the knowledge so that others will learn after them and be able to further the movement into a promised land, that good life that God created us for on earth and after. So real knowledge, true knowledge, is knowledge we find in the works of God, in the works of God. So that's where we find the true knowledge. The human being is a marvelous work of God, the Creator. You study the human being, you get knowledge of the human being, creation. The dermatologist studies skin. He gets the knowledge of the skin from the study of the skin. Eye doctors get the knowledge of the eyes from the study of the eyes. The doctors who is over and knows how to do the surgery job, he gets the knowledge of surgery from the study of the meshing, the coming together, the inner threads that's working of the material body. So Quran Surah 50, Ayat 8. Earth indicates of observe. The Quran, Surah 67, Ayat 15, earth manages platable, traceable. So you don't just think of prayer as something for God and think of fasting in the month of Ramadan, that's from God. Eating after the fast is also from God. Riding on the more than just the spirit. Riding on the boat or the airplane, 747. That's also from God. Yes, all of this is from God. He created the earth. And you have this great meeting. The intellect and the life in us embraces the creation, and the creation opens up to us. Then he creates all that is to be our tiller for us to engage. It plows it. So if we would have the same sacred respect for the relationship Allah wants for us, have what this external world we call the material existence, we can have good products from this external world, and many of them that will give us pleasures, just like the good obedient children gets those pleasures at home when we look at them. Earth study not bigger than. The Quran, Surah 50, Ayat 8, earth is to be observed by every devotee. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayat 57, universe bigger creation than man. So when a baby comes here, they don't speak Yorubi, Swahili. They don't speak Arabic. They don't speak English, Chinese, Russian. They come here speaking baby language, all of them, and they have to learn our separate languages. So God has created us one life and made us one and the same people. All of us are the same. Then we learn that the differences, we have different histories, different ethnic makeups, different ethnic makeups, etc. Well, all of these are additions that were put on the baby. The baby just came here right out of heaven as one member in the family of human beings. And then our spiritual location and life as revealed to us ethnically, racial nationalism, or whatever it is put a dress on the baby. It puts a tradition on the baby. And the dress of the baby is different, and he looks. But if you could go back and recover, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, to God is the eventual return. So when we return, what are we returning to? We are returning to the original Muslim. When you return to the innocent nature and life of the baby, you are returning to the original Muslim, to the first Muslim. And if you can, and if you are a Christian, you are returning to the first Christian nature. Salakullahu Gadeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihi Ubay. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m., inshallah. It only means if it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Dr. Maraj Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.